We're going to kind of shift gears here for a little while in, for pre-service. We just both really felt like we needed to do some teaching again along the lines of healing and have had some people actually ask about it, request it. So my endeavor is that I will share for maybe 20, 25 minutes and then we'll still have some time to pray before the service starts. So tonight I just want to share a few things that as most of you know, I had a serious health challenge this last year, and you know, it's amazing. I've been teaching healing for many, many, many years, and but it's another thing entirely when you experience something that's a serious challenge health-wise. It's not that the word is different. It's not that that anything changes. It's just that you enter into a whole different place walking in the Word when you have to tap into it and make a demand on it for yourself and it, when it's a serious thing. And so, you know, I spent a lot of time in the Word. And what I was very thankful for was the fact that I had a really good foundation in me so that when I got my diagnosis, I didn't freak out. You know, that so it would be so easy when you hear certain things come out of doctors' mouths that you'd freak out, that you would just kind of, what, you know. And I just never had that happen. You know, there was just never that there. There was just that sense of calm and peace the whole time. And I believe that that only is because there was such a good foundation laid in my own life regarding healing and knowing what God's Word says about healing. So, you know, there's a whole lot of things we could talk about tonight, and since we're just going to try to keep it limited to a shorter period, I just want to share a few things tonight about some of the things that I feel are the most important whenever you're facing a challenge. Now, you might not be dealing with a healing challenge in your life, but maybe you're dealing with a financial challenge or something else that's very serious, and these principles are applicable to all of those things. And so to me, I had to kind of sit and think when Dwayne asked me to start this class up again, I had to stop and just think for a little bit about what did I feel was the most important thing to share right away. You know, the thing that would probably be the most important above all other things. You know, first of all, the foundation. We all have this foundation. We know it's God's will to heal, so I'm not going to lay that foundation again. We all know that. Most of you have been in the healing classes in the past, and you know it is God's will to heal. It's always God's will to heal. You know, it's a matter of us getting our minds renewed to the truth of God's Word, to learn how to receive the healing power of God, and then to make a demand on the healing power of God in our own personal lives. But there are certain little things that are really important for us to be established in, and you know, just knowing what the Word says about this isn't enough. You know, there are so many good teachings out there. There are so many awesome Bible teachers and teaching series and even people's testimonies that are really good. And I was helped by some of those things. Not that I learned anything new, but it was just encouraging. You know, I read a little book by a woman who had stage 4 liver cancer, and her doctor sent her home, basically just sent her home to die because she there was nothing they could do for her. She was so far advanced. And she was a pastor's wife, and it was actually Dodie Osteen. It's a really good book if you're interested, and I could tell you what it is, but just a little small book. But she went home and she determined some things about how she was going to address this and how she was going to face it. And though she was down to like 90 some pounds, she'd lost a lot of weight. But she just had determined she was going to beat it. And so it took her about 2 years to walk through that fight. And, you know, and there were times that she didn't think she was going to get through the fight, but she knew God was her healer, and so she just held her ground. But there's things that I think that it's really important for all of us, in spite of whatever challenge we're facing, whether you're facing a healing challenge or you're facing a financial challenge of some kind, there's some things that are really, really, really important to have down as your first, the first principles of things that need to be real to you. And to me, the very first one is being able to hear the voice of God. Because there are so many voices that come at you when you're diagnosed with something serious. There's so many things that come at you. There's natural voices. There's all kinds of well-meaning people that want to tell you about somebody they knew. There's the doctors and the medical profession. There's things coming at you online. You name it, it's there. And so I don't think there's anything more important than actually going to God and hearing from God for yourself. And then once you hear, to stay on course with that. Because there are times when you're very tempted to get off course and to go another way, to go to follow conventional wisdom, things like that. And so the scripture, there was a couple scriptures that, passages of scripture that for me were kind of my place to go, my places to spend every day. And first of all, Psalm 91 was the place I spent most of the time over the past 6 months. And saw so many awesome, awesome truths in Psalm 91. But then Psalm 23 also was another place for me, of course, for obvious reasons. But I wanted to just share tonight, I just want to share a few little things from Psalm 23. And then we'll spend some time in prayer before the service. But I want to read this to you out of the Amplified. It's just six little verses is all it is. But it is such a powerful little passage of Scripture. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1, says, "The Lord is my shepherd. To feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in paths of righteousness, uprightness, and in right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my brimming cup runs over. Surely only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of my days in the house of the Lord in his presence shall be my dwelling place." So, you know, as I said earlier, I think the most important thing for any human being who's facing a challenge, whether it's a small challenge or a huge challenge, is to know God is their shepherd. To know him. Not just to know that he is a shepherd, but to know he's their shepherd. And then that they can hear him and that they can follow him. And so that's the thing I guess every one of us has to ask. Do I know God as my shepherd? And what does that mean, even to know God as your shepherd? Verse 2 says, he leads me. And again, these are things that are fundamental, simple, basic types of truths. But when your life depends on it, it becomes more than just a fundamental, basic truth. It becomes a lifeline for you. The fact that God will speak to you and God will lead you through these things. And so the fact that God is my shepherd makes it very individual, very distinct, very unique. There's 7.5 billion people on this earth, and God is uniquely a shepherd to each, could be a shepherd to each 7.5 billion people. And because he knows each one of us, he knows our frame, he knows what makes us work, he knows how we think, he knows our emotions, he knows everything about us. And so God has to be my shepherd. I can't follow God being a shepherd to Sean because it won't work the same way. And yet, that's what people try to do. They want to listen to somebody's testimony and they want to get on and go after what they did in their testimony. It's not going to work. That's what God spoke to them. That's how God led them. That's how God guided them and shielded them. We have to go in there for ourselves as individuals. One of the most powerful things for me that happened was right away after I had my surgery, I was in the recovery room, and of course this was probably, well, it was just a couple weeks after I had been diagnosed, and the surgery, you know, I never had surgery before, I'd never been under a general anesthetic ever. So this was like a whole huge new experience, you know. You know what you see in the TV shows? Forget it, because that's not what it's like, at least for me. I was in the waiting room having a blast with my husband and my two kids. We were telling jokes and showing YouTube videos. We were laughing like idiots in there. And then the anesthesiologist came to get me, and you know, usually it shows you in the movies, it shows them on a stretcher, and they're being wheeled into the operating room, and then you're, you know, all of this takes, I walked into the operating room, walked across the hall, climbed up on the table. I mean, this was just so unlike anything that I've ever been exposed to as far as TV goes. And so it was just one of those really quick, fast things where, you know, the doctor asks you a question and then he puts this thing over your face and the next thing you know, you're waking up. But it was the waking up part that was so incredible for me. And it still is very emotional for me because when I woke up, there was a tangible presence of God there with me. There was such peace in that room and such a knowing that God was right there with me. And I've had people say, well, you know, that was just the anesthesia wearing off. No, I think the anesthesia was subduing all the natural part of me so that my spirit man could be much more sensitive to the presence of God. But I was so aware that he was there with me. And again, does God have lots of things to do? You bet he's busy. But yet, I was important enough to him that day that he was right there with waiting for me to wake up. And I tell you, that will never leave me. That knowledge, that awareness will never, ever leave me. That I was important enough to God. He valued my life enough that when I woke up, he was there. It was awesome. So, you know, these experiences are filled with those types of things. You know, when you decide, God, you're the way in this. You're going to be the only way I get through this. You're going to be the answer to the things that I'm facing. And so it's very unique. It's very individual. It's very distinct. It's no two experiences will ever be the same. That's why I encourage people, you get into the Word for yourself and you hear what God has to say. Now, I'm not saying that it isn't important to listen to good teaching material. I've done that throughout this time. I've listened to some of the same series of tapes over and over again. But, you know, it's what I heard from God that really made the difference. Those things just kind of, they inspired me. But faith and confidence and rest came from hearing the voice of God. And so it's very personal, it's very unique, and it's going to be that for each one of us when we're facing things. But the one thing, above all others, you know, during that's as far as an important aspect during a healing journey or a financial journey, or if you're dealing with a serious relationship issue of some kind, is to be able to follow the voice of God. I had to resist the temptation to follow conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom is, first of all, they want to cut everything off that they possibly can. And the other thing they want to do is they want to pump your body full of chemicals and radiate it. That's just the way it is. That's conventional wisdom. And you know what? Conventional wisdom is good for people who don't know any better, or for people who God says go that way. But we were ready to do whatever they told us to do until we went home and sought the face of God and he said no. We didn't have the peace of God to do that. And in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 13, it says that the ways of wisdom are pleasant and peaceful. And so to know whether or not you're really following the wisdom of God, you have to find peace. And when we considered doing what we were advised to do, you know, going the conventional route, following conventional wisdom, there was no peace. The peace of God would just lift off of us. And so, of course, weren't you kind of nervous about that? Of course, we have to fight that. You have to fight the thoughts. And then, of course, the doctor tells us, well, you know, you have a certain percentage of chance of this returning if you don't do these things. Well, that was a no-brainer because the odds were still in my favor. They were still in my favor. And, you know, I had been feeding on Psalm 91, and in Psalm 91 it says, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. You know what? Doesn't that sound like statistics to you?
Yeah, that's right.
Sounds like it to me. And so to me it was, you know what? We're going to follow God. We're just going to trust God through this. And so it was interesting. It was a very interesting journey, and it's tempting to follow traditional wisdom and the counsel of the doctors. And you know what? I respect doctors so highly because they help so many people. But we had to do what we know was right for me, for us. And so Pastor and I spent time praying and seeking God and just followed God, just followed him. I mean, it was, to me, it was a miraculous experience. I had absolutely no pain from that surgery. My daughter spent the first night with us. I mean, there were some things about it. Now, if this is TMI, you guys can let me know, but there were some things about it that were uncomfortable. I had to have a drain for 10 days. That was probably the only really nasty part of the whole thing, was a drain that had to be emptied frequently. But there was no pain. And in fact, the first night my daughter came in and says, "Mom, don't you want to take something?" Because they had sent us home with some really juicy stuff, you know. And I said, "I don't feel anything." She goes, "Are you sure? Now, you know, we should just take it just to kind of head it off." You know, I said, "No, I don't want to take it if I don't need to." And so to me, that again was just God's hand, just the hand of God. There was no pain, no discomfort at all. There was the inconvenience side of it. Hillary came and saw me, and she knows how it was. Not very pretty, was it? But there was no discomfort, no pain, no, you know, anything like that. And so one of the things that I determined, and again, this is, I'm just sharing little nuggets as they're coming back to me, but one of the things that I determined, and some of you were witness to this because I said it to you right away as soon as I got this diagnosis, was that I am not going to act like a sick person. That's right. I am not going to milk this. I'm not going to milk it for, you know, lay on the couch and have somebody rub my fevered brow. I am not going to milk this for anything. I am not going to act like a sick person. I'm not going to give in to this. I am not going to govern my life by this diagnosis. I'm not going to, you know, play the whole, you know, sick person, go that route. I will not do that. I do not want to do it. Why? Because I would have to identify with it to do that. Well, either I'm going to identify myself with my risen Savior, who is my healer, who's already paid the price and already healed me, or I'm going to identify with sickness and I'm going to go that route. That's not a hard decision to make. It's an easy decision to make. So I just determined right from the beginning, and you know, I remember Sean Hawkins, I was talking to him, and I said, "And don't anybody feel sorry for me either." He goes, "Pastor Mary, I won't feel sorry. If you need a good swift kick once in a while," I think something like that. No, you know Sean, you know his humor. And so, you know, thank God for people like that. The last thing you want is for people to come and go, "Oh, how are you doing?" It's like, I don't want to be looked at that way. I don't want to be treated like a sick person or looked at as a sick person or have people respond to me like a sick person, because I don't believe that. I believe I'm the healed. I believe I'm the whole and the fully recovered. And so, you know, there's this line that's really hard for people. Some people want to put all that stuff on Facebook and let everybody know how bad it is. It's like, I don't believe that. Either he's my healer and I'm the healed, or he's not. And so again, I'm not saying this is what you would have to do if you were to get diagnosed with a disease or an illness of some kind. I'm telling you, this is how God led me. And why did he lead me that way? Because he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And so that means he has the right to show me the way to go. He has the right to tell me what to do. He's the right to guide my steps. And that's the promise that's here in Psalm 23, that he will lead me, feed me, and shield me. And so I am so thankful for the fact that he did that throughout this. I have a little notebook that I did daily devotional times that I've just filled with things that he's shown me and taught me through this experience. And, you know, to me that's invaluable. You can't put a price tag on that. And some people say, "Well, see, you know, this cancer, this was a good thing then," because, no, you don't have to get cancer to hear from God. But you can hear from God in the midst of it. You can hear from him and you can be taught, and he can teach you what steps to take right through the middle. But the main thing is to keep your eyes on him and not on another man's testimony or what somebody else did. And, you know, I was thinking about this. How many of you, I'm sure most of you have, but how many of you are familiar with the story Home Alone? The second one. The second movie, Home Alone, I've seen it. Anybody, this isn't going to mean as much to you if you have never seen Home Alone, the second one. Well, there's this part in this movie where this little boy and his family, they're going to Florida. And so they're late. They woke up late, and so they're running late for the plane, and they're running down the concourse in the airport, and he's right behind his dad running, and they're running and running and running. And for a moment, he takes his eyes off of his dad. And then when he looks up again, he thinks he sees his dad, and he continues to follow, but it's not his dad. And so he follows this man onto the wrong plane. And he ends up in New York City, and his family is down in Iowa. And so I was just thinking how easy it is when you get your eyes off God and you follow what somebody else is doing, or you follow the conventional wisdom, or you follow what someone else tells you they think you should do. You know, it's not my place to tell you what you should do when it comes to healing. Now, especially after this experience, I'll tell you, you go to God and you hear from God, because you can, first of all, you're his sheep, you'll know his, you know his voice, there's promises in John chapter 10 about that, but you don't follow another person. And sometimes, in this case, this little boy, this man looked like his dad. He had a coat on that looked like his dad's coat, the haircut looked like his dad's haircut, everything about this guy from behind looked like his dad. And so he thought he was following the right thing. And it's real easy to get caught up with something that looks right. It just looks like the right thing. But if you follow it, it can have disastrous results. And in that case, it did have disastrous results for him and for his family. But it's like that for us too. We are our most important aspect of any challenge in life is to hear from God, because he is your shepherd. And he knows you, and he knows your name, and he knows everything about you. And you know, the person that your best friend, they don't know everything about you. They don't know all the little things that make you tick. God does. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what's going to work for you, and what passages of scripture are going to speak to your heart the most. But it's not going to come. Victory isn't going to come by following another person's path. The thing that's so awesome is that because we're in a shepherd-sheep relationship with the Lord, that talks about a working, practical working relationship. And because God is a shepherd, Jesus says in John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. Because he's a good shepherd, that means he's committed to diligently care for you and to cherish you through whatever it is that you're going through, just like a shepherd cares for his sheep. Now, of course, not all shepherds are created equal, but he's the good shepherd. The same way that when he was here and he went about doing good and healing all, he's the same way today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still he's a good shepherd, and he's going to lead us into green pastures. He's going to cause us to lie down beside still waters. He's going to do whatever is necessary to bring that blessing and refreshing to us in the midst of the challenges that we're facing. And so I just want to encourage you tonight, because we're going to stop here. I just wanted to share a couple little things that this is the most important thing. When we went to our last regional meeting, our area director asked me if I could say what was the one thing that pulled me through above all else. I told him, I said, it was just an awareness of God's presence. An awareness, constantly reminding myself that he is my shepherd and he's always present. He's Jehovah Shammah. He's with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Never losing sight of the fact that God is always there. And as I said, when I woke up from surgery, he was waiting there for me. And I was so aware of his presence. But that is a reality for every believer. God is present in your life. And he wants to lead you. He wants to take you by the hand. He wants to guide your steps. Our problem is we think we can do it by ourselves. We think we can make decisions without consulting. We think we can get through those tough places without going to him. We can't. Not if we want to come out at the right destination. So I want to read. And next week we'll pick up maybe with some more thoughts along these lines. But ultimately I really want to get to Psalm 91, because there is some awesome stuff in Psalm 91. But this is a voice translation for Psalm 23. It says, "The Eternal, my shepherd, he cares for me always. He provides me rest in rich green fields beside streams of refreshing water. He soothes my fears. He makes me whole again, steering me off worn, hard paths to roads where truth and righteousness echo his name. Even in the unending shadows of death's darkness, I'm not overcome by fear, because you are with me in those dark moments. Near with your protection and guidance, I am comforted. You spread out a table before me, provisions in the midst of attack from my enemies. You care for all my needs, anointing my head with soothing fragrant oil, filling my cup again and again, your grace. Certainly your faithfulness and protection and loving provision will pursue me where I go, always, everywhere. I will always be with the Eternal in your house forever. Isn't that good? That's so, such a good translation. So again, just, he is our shepherd and he knows our voice. And there's times where he'll actually speak to you and call you out by name. He knows your voice, and he says that we know his voice. So that's how personal a God we have. We have such a personal God. He cares so intimately about each one of us, and so deeply about each one of us, that no matter what it is that you're facing, he has got very specific things to lead you and to guide you during that time. There are times when you're tempted to be fearful, and he'll show you exactly what you need to see to pull you up out of that place. You know, and one other thing I want to share is in Psalm 91, it says, "Only a spectator shall I be, myself inaccessible in that secret place of the Most High." And that was one of those passages, again, that's amplified, that that just spoke so much to me, because I had to consider the fact that I was dealing with something that could potentially take my life. And I came to a point one day where I had to face that thing and look it square in the eye and say, okay, so, you know, you could do that. You could take my life. You could do that. And you know what happened when I did that? All the fear left, because I confronted it. I confronted what it could do, but knew that it wasn't able to do that to me, but yet had to stare it in the eye and acknowledge that could be the outcome of a situation like this. But it took the sting out of it by me facing it. It's like standing up to a bully and looking the bully in the eye and telling it, I know what you're capable of doing. But it just took the punch out of it. It took the sting out of it. And you know what happens with my confidence level just went through the ceiling after that. Because that wasn't a fear that was hanging over me any longer. There was no fear. There was no unknown, like, what if, hanging over me anymore. And I know I've shared that with some people, and they wanted to rebuke me for doing that. Like I was conceding something. I wasn't conceding. I was looking a bully. I was looking an enemy in the eye and declaring, I know what you could do, but you're not going to do it. And it really just took the punch out of it. And there's times where when you're walking through something difficult like that, whether, again, financial, physical, whatever, that you're in that valley. There's a shadow there. You're in a dark valley. And there's just times that but you know what? He's with you even there. So it's an awesome thing to know who to go to when you're challenged with these things. It's an awesome thing to be able to put your life in his hands and know he is a good shepherd and he knows exactly where to take us and exactly how to lead us and what to say to us at times. One of the things that one of the most challenging times when you're going through something like that is the night hours. And sure enough, Psalm 91 addresses that, you know. Because you wake up at night and you're very vulnerable when you first wake up at night and thoughts start hitting you. You probably have this happen about financial things. Well, it happens about life threats too. Thoughts that try to hit you. And you know, we don't have to fear or dread those things. That's all they are, is fiery darts. That's all they are. They're just thoughts that are moving through. And if we know what to do with them, if we know how to answer them, that's all that's important. So I'm going to cut it off there. Sean, do you feel like you could lead prayer before service tonight? You think you could handle it?